Welcome to this episode of the Mind of the Escapist podcast. This is a podcast centered around film, video games, television, anime, and more. I am your host, Terrell. In today's episode, I'm going to be reviewing They Cloned Tyrone, which is a brand new film that just released on Netflix today. I literally just finished watching the film, so this is going to be a very fresh, very raw reaction, which is kind of ironic because They Cloned Tyrone is the type of film that you kind of need to think about quite a bit and process. There's a lot going on in this film, thematically and visually. But I feel like during my experience watching this film, there was a lot that jumped out at me that I just need to talk about immediately. Now, this is a film that I've been anticipating for quite some time because the first images were released of this film, I think around April of 2021 when they were shooting the film. And I remember John Boyega was frequently posting on his Instagram photos and videos from the shoot of this movie when they were shooting down in Atlanta, I believe, in early 2021. So that kind of captured my attention. And I heard of the cast of Teyonah Parris, John Boyega, and Jamie Foxx. And that just immediately intrigued me. So I knew that film was being made. And then when the first official image release of all three of those actors in character stood in an elevator, it just immediately captured my attention. I was immediately interested and sold on the film and ready to see it, even though I didn't even really know what the film was about. And that's mainly because of the costume design, costumes they were in, the different hairstyles, the black hairstyles they had on display. The vibe of the photo gave a very Fifth Element vibe, Chris Tucker Fifth Element type of vibe, but I was intrigued nonetheless. Now, I'm gonna keep the story summary very vague here because this is one of those films that you don't really want to know anything about when you watch it. I didn't really know anything about it when I watched it. I did see the first trailer when they released the first official trailer, but that was quite a while back, so I didn't really remember much from it. And they released a trailer since that I didn't bother watching. So I'm literally going to read the synopsis, the main synopsis that they've released for the film, which is very vague. And the synopsis reads, a series of eerie events thrusts an unlikely trio onto the trail of a nefarious government conspiracy. That's literally it. That's how they describe the movie. That's how I'm going to describe it in terms of a story to you, because I want to keep this very vague. And of course, with me keeping it very vague, I'm going to keep this review spoiler free. But right off the bat, I'm going to tell you, I love this movie. It's one of those films. Every now and again, I watch a film, and as I'm watching it, and usually with these type of films, it happens very early on. As I'm watching it, I'm instantly like, it's all just clicking. And as I'm watching it, I'm like, yeah, I can tell I'm going to love this. And this isn't a perfect movie, you know, there's a couple lulls, you know, from the second act going into the third act, so it's not perfect, but it's absolutely a must watch, nonetheless. And I'll start off by talking about the cinematography, which I think is brilliant. It immediately draws you in to this film and into this world. There's a very strong film grain look to this film, and it gives the film itself a very raw filmic aesthetic, which adds a lot of character and grit to the film. Whereas a very clean, you know, 2023 digital looking image, that wouldn't have had the same effect, and it would have actually contributed negatively to the overall mood that this film creates just from its visual look. And that really pulls you in from the very first frames of the film. And I really appreciate that about it, because it's an aspect of filmmaking that I do think about a lot when I'm watching films, and when I think about myself creatively and the art I want to create, and if I want to make films in future and how I'd want them to look, I am longing for that kind of old school grainy look that looks like an old school picture, an old school film that was shot on film. I don't know if this film was actually shot on film or if it was shot digitally and then they just did the grain in post. I'm leaning towards the assumption that they shot it digitally and they did the grain in post, but if it was actually shot on film, then that's even more impressive. But either way, the effect is maintained very well, and it adds a lot to that kind of atmosphere and mood of the film overall. The lighting choices in this film are inspired as well. It's another aspect of the cinematography that stands out. The scenes are often dimly lit and never overexposed, and the lighting choices complement the black actors too, which is something that Hollywood often gets very wrong. If you look at a film like Moonlight, the way that actors are lit within that film complement the skin and create a very visually appeasing visual with the mixture of our melanin on black skin and the certain lighting techniques and the way that they kind of light the skin. And it's a similar thing in this film. And one thing that some films often do is they do overexpose black actors and put them in way too much lighting, and it just starts to look very generic, and there's nothing kind of different to how they look. Whereas when you've got a cinematographer that really understands how certain colors create a very appeasing look visually within certain lighting, it can really give you strong visuals with black characters that look very different to what you would get if you had white actors. Not in a bad way, but like it just something different and gives a different aesthetic. And that's what this film achieved with this, the mixture of the film grain within the cinematography and the lighting choices, which were often, like I said, dimly lit with this actors. And I thought it's a creative choice that immediately stood out to me from like the first few minutes of the film. And like I said, it's an element that just immediately drew me into the film as well. The writing of this film is sharp and consistently funny. And this is one of the funniest films I've seen in quite a long time. Like, this film had me laughing, I feel like, every 5 minutes at least. Sometimes, like, a proper laugh out loud, you know? You know when you watch films, you often laugh or find something funny, but you kind of, like, chuckle under your breath. This kind of actually made me laugh out loud a few times. And it's a mixture of the brilliant writing, mixed with the performances of the actors and the line delivery. Now, the cast, especially the main trio of John Boyega, Jamie Foxx, and Teyonah Parris, chemistry is off the charts in this film, and each individual performance is just fantastic. And I'm so happy to see John Boyega get a movie like this, because this film and his performance in particular, and where the film goes with his character in particular, and what he has to do as an actor, this shows a lot of depth. And we've seen a lot of depth from John Boyega in the past, but this shows another level of John Boyega that I think some people wouldn't have even expected him to be capable of doing. And I'm so glad he got a film as great as this as a vessel to showcase his talents, because he's an actor that deserves it. And it's extremely exciting to see him act in this film, and with the knowledge that his career, he's been around for like 10 plus years. You know, I saw Attack the Block when that originally came out in 2011 in cinemas. So he's been around for 10 years, but he's still in the early phases of his career. Like, he's still got plenty of time to flourish as an actor. And the fact that he got a film like this and did a performance like this so early on in his career is just incredibly exciting, because the sky's the limit for John Boyega, and he really deserved a film that would allow him to showcase himself like this. And I can't get into details of why, but he's absolutely fantastic. And it's to the point where subconsciously, I do know it's John Boyega I'm looking at. But honestly, when watching the film, he was the character. So he was plays a character called Fontaine, who's kind of like the lead character we follow throughout the film. And his mannerisms, his hair, his look, his accent, the way he actually performed, he embodied that character to the degree where I didn't really see John Boyega. Like I said, subconsciously, deep down, you know, okay, it's John Boyega. But like more than ever before, I feel like he really became a chameleon and became a different character on a really deep level. And like I said, I think it complements his overall performance and the film greatly. And I'd love to see him do more roles in this vein, or more roles that push him even further down that path of like stretching his acting skills. Because, you know, we all loved him as Finn in Star Wars, and they kind of mismanaged the character. But that characterization is very basic in a grand sense, and very kind of sanitary, if that's the right word, or very kind of clean. Whereas what we get to see of him here is very kind of down to earth, a bit gruff, you know, a character with history, with past, you know, with troubles, doesn't always make the right decisions. And John Boyega played into that fantastically. You've got Jamie Foxx here. Now, Jamie Foxx is one of those actors, I mean, he is one of the great actors of his time, to be honest. And he's one of the most talented entertainers ever. I'll go as far as to say that, you know, the man's very, very talented, whether it's comedy, whether it's music, whether it's acting, other things on top of that. And he gives another performance here that's gonna be up there with his best. You know, he's a very funny performance, and he's one of the ones, the line delivery, the lines he gets given anyway are just hilarious, but the delivery is pitch perfect. And Jamie Foxx is fantastic in this film. And what I'll also say about the line, the dialogue itself, is there are so many quotable lines of dialogue in this film that I'm likely to remember. It got to the point where halfway through the film I started writing them down, because I thought, you know what, some of these lines are going to become iconic in their own way, because they're so funny and they're so memorable and they're so just well written. And Jamie Foxx has a whole load of them and delivers them all like just perfectly. There's certain scenes where he's just firing off phrase, line after line, that is just hitting, and the comedy is just flowing. And once again, for him, like, I'm happy that he got the opportunity to give a showcase of his comedic talents again through this film, because he is truly fantastic. And Teyonah Parris has her own element to this film, adding her own layer to this film with her character and the way she performs it. and she was just fantastic as well. This is one of the best performances I've seen from her. I'm used to really seeing her in the Marvel films, if I'm being completely honest. I can't remember too many other films that I've seen that she's been in. Of course, she was in the Candyman remake or reboot or semi-sequel, whatever you want to call that film. And I thought she was very good in that as well. But it's mainly the MCU that I've seen her in, which was WandaVision. And of course, she's in the upcoming Marvels. But once again, here, she got to showcase her talents to a grand degree. And like I said, the chemistry between all three actors was just so on point. It just felt like magic. Like every now and again, you get films that bring together such a great assortment of actors with chemistry that is so magnetic that it just all clicks, and it's like every scene is magic between these actors, and this is one of those films. And the direction is fantastic as well. So this is a first-time director. His name is Jewel Taylor. He wrote Creed 2, which is one of my favorite films in recent years, and what he did here directing wise was really good, because this is a sci-fi film. This is like a sci-fi comedy that's also doing a riff on blaxploitation and has like blaxploitation elements slash influences, and then does like a sci-fi thing with it. And it's really inventive, really creative. And what he did in terms of the direction is, like I said, mixed with the cinematography, which gave this really great, you know, a distinct look, visual look to the film. He adds a lot of flair to it with the way he shoots the movie. And there's a lot of great scenes. Well, there are the occasional kind of standard dialogue back and forth scenes, but there's always something else going on in the scene that's like driving it and keeping the energy and keeping your focus. And then there's, for example, there's one scene where the three characters are kind of having a debate with themselves in this kind of fairly small room, and it's all done in one take, and the camera kind of slowly, the camera doesn't really move a huge amount throughout the scene, but it's the way that the blocking is set up and the actors themselves are maneuvering themselves in front of the camera into different positions, delivering lines and sharing the space with each other, and the way that he maneuvers the camera ever so slightly through that scene, it felt like theatre in a way. It felt very theatrical in terms of their performances and the way that you as the viewer are watching them perform and deliver their lines amongst each other. And I think that's an element that the director just brought to this film very well, which adds to the uniqueness of this film and the engagement. The score slash soundtrack, fantastic again. I paused the movie and checked halfway through. The soundtrack is actually on Spotify right now, which is good because I want to get through some of that music. Hopefully the score gets added, because I couldn't tell which songs, sometimes I could, but I couldn't tell which songs were a part of just the score or which songs were actual established songs sometimes that they just used in the soundtrack, because there could be some instrumental tracks in this film that are just existing music and not a part of the actual score. But either way, it all works really well. There's a lot of funk music in this film that once again adds to the style, especially the blaxploitation roots that this film is kind of emulating in a way and doing a riff on. And then when you get those more sinister sci-fi elements within the score, it really creates a nice balance that is, once again, and I said the word a lot in this review so far, but unique, and it makes the film stand out. Now, if there is one film that this film reminds me of, and I can imagine a lot of people, especially a lot of people without a lot of experience with black movies, especially movies like this that explore themes like this. Thematically, this film, from what I remember, isn't the same as what as the film I'm about to mention. But just in terms of how wild and unpredictable at times this film gets, it reminds me of Sorry to Bother You, which was a film that came out with Lakeith Stanfield a number of years ago, which was kind of a roller coaster ride of just madness. Great, great film. That film was directed by Boots Riley, and that was a critically acclaimed film, and it was a very kind of surreal film, and it had comedic elements, and it had very thematic focus to it, and great performances. And yeah, if there's one point of reference I'll give is Sorry to Bother You. So if you've seen that and you enjoyed it, or at least if you've seen it and you kind of understood what that film was in terms of all what it was trying to do and how it was executed, that's the closest reference point I can give. Although this film is still different to that in a lot of ways, in almost every way, really. It's just that how that film made me feel is kind of similar to how this film made me feel in terms of just trying to keep up with the film and being engaged with it, because it just feels so fresh and so different. Now, I want to talk about the themes of this film, but at the same time, I can't really delve into it because of spoilers, because I just want you to watch this film completely fresh as I did, because I didn't know what this film was going to try and tackle thematically before I watched it. So as you watch the film, the kind of mystery is, you know, a large chunk of that mystery is, what is this film trying to make a statement on? So I don't really want to spoil that. But what I will say, at the end of this review, I will talk about a few things, which you can come back and listen to once you've seen the film. But what I will say is, thematically, there are some interesting topics that are being addressed. They're not necessarily things that we haven't seen in films lately in terms of the theme itself and what it's trying to tackle and what it's trying to say. But I think it's a very inventive and fresh way to tackle this type of topic. And the way that the sci-fi concept kind of blends into the thematic side of this film and helps elevate the thematic side of this film, I think is a very smart way of doing it, because it allows them to metaphorically portray things, or to portray things that you would usually portray metaphorically, but also in a very literal way with the concept that they use in this film, mixed in with the themes. And I think that's a very good thing that they managed to do there. But like I said, I'll get onto that at the end of the review in a little small spoiler section where I'll talk about that in more detail. The hair, makeup and costume design, all fantastic. Yeah, all stands out. This is the type of thing, like this film, They Clone Tyrone, feels like the type of black film I've just always been asking for. Like, I'm very loud and clear on my stance of how Hollywood portrays black cast, especially black films nowadays. Usually it's a film about slavery and things like that, and that's what they'll try and use for Oscar bait and things like that. I hate it. I've had enough of slave movies. I don't want to see them anymore. I want to see us be able to portray our art. And even if we do tackle thematic, very real topics like this film does, it's through the lens of a black artist and black creatives who have something to say and still manage to find a fun way and an engaging and different way to portray all of that, so that you're not just watching something that feels like it's exploiting our trauma, which is what a lot of these slave films feel like they're doing. So I'm glad that this film exists. I'm so happy, and I just want it to be a success. I hope a lot of people watch it. Now, I don't really have any negatives for They Clone Tyrone. The only thing I will say is the first half, I think, is slightly stronger than the second half. Once things get revealed, so this film is like a mystery film, there's a lot going on, and the whole first act, you're kind of trying to work out what's going on. And some elements of where you think the story might go are a bit predictable, but other elements are not. And it's a really engaging film nonetheless, especially in that first half. The first hour really grasps you. But after the first hour's over, you start to get your puzzle pieces in order and you start to have things revealed to you. And it's not that the film gets worse once that happens or that you're less engaged. It still remains a great film, but it's the interest levels do dip a bit, because I think there's a small pacing issue somewhere in that second act, which creates like a little lull where it's a little lull between when you find out what's going on and then when you find out where the rest of the film's really going to go with it. In between that kind of section, there's just a little lull, which kind of was a little dip, but nothing too significant. And that's pretty much the only negative I have for this film, in all honesty. I think They Clone Tyrone is a fantastic film. It's easily one of the best films you'll see in 2023. It's a film that you definitely should watch. It's a must watch, in my opinion. The cast were absolutely fantastic. The writing is fantastic. And the cinematography is some of the best cinematography I've seen all year as well. And then the music is great as well. It's like every key department that you assess for filmmaking, this film hits on a really high level consistently throughout. And I thoroughly enjoyed They Clone Tyrone. Highly recommend you watch it. Now, as I was editing this episode, there were some additional thoughts that I wanted to add. This little snippet that I'm recording right now is almost 24 hours after I've watched the film. But what I want to say is I've already seen They Clone Tyrone twice. I watched it again just a few hours after watching it for the first time. This is something that I rarely, if ever, do. When I watch films at home, I rarely go back to them. Definitely not this quick. And so that speaks for itself in a way. But some of the additional things I wanted to say about this film is, having watched it a second time, there's a lot of information and details that you pick up on within the first act, which were planted very nicely, that pay off. And there are also extra details within the film, especially towards the second act of the film, that I missed the first time around. And watching the film a second time and having an understanding of what I was watching as I was watching it, it allowed me to pick up on some other details as well. So it definitely has that sort of replay value with it. And the film just feels special, you know, having given it a second pass and that second viewing, I maintain my thoughts on it and it feels special. Another way I describe this film is, it feels like a feature-length episode of Atlanta mixed with The Twilight Zone and Black Mirror that has the unpredictability of Sorry to Bother You. And I'll also add, it's the perfect film to watch high because the surreal moments of the film are so effective at striking you as something deeply sinister. And if you're a fan of Atlanta, or if you've seen Atlanta, particularly season 2, if you remember how bizarre and creepy the Teddy Perkins episode of Atlanta was, then that's another reference point I'd give for this film, because They Clone Tyrone has that same type of bizarre, surreal, creepy energy running through it alongside the mystery and the comedy. Another thing I want to briefly say is just black stories with surreal elements that have a social commentary running through it is 100% my shit. It's why Atlanta is one of my favorite TV shows ever. It's why Get Out was an instant classic. It's why Sorry to Bother You stood out. And They Clone Tyrone is the latest film of that ilk. No matter how wild and creative these films and TV shows get, they still manage to capture the grounded yet bizarre nature of some of the things black people experience within society in the real world. And I think that's what makes those films so engaging for us personally, and how they're able to still be relatable despite the dreamlike madness is what adds to the humor of these films and the enjoyment. Yeah, so that's just some of the additional thoughts I wanted to add having watched the film a second time, and I just wanted to let you know that I watched it almost immediately again, which is something I never do, which tells me personally how engaged and how much I love this film. But anyway, back to the original recording. And yeah, go watch it and then come back after you've watched it to listen to the rest of this, because now I'm going to not even talk spoilers, to be honest. So if you don't mind knowing what this film tackles thematically, then I guess you can carry on and listen now before you go and watch the film. But if you do want to watch it completely fresh and not know what the thematic topics of this film are, then come back and listen to the rest of this after you've seen the film. But there's a lot that this film's trying to tackle. There's themes of gentrification, the corrupted race and class divide in America, how white people view black people in general, especially particular types of white people. And there's an element to this film. Okay, so this is a minor spoiler. There's an element to this film that revolves around hypnosis. I'll just say that. And that aspect of the story comes across as a metaphor. This is all my interpretation, of course, so there's not necessarily a right or wrong when it comes to things like this, but this is how I interpreted it. Like I said, I only just finished watching the film before I started this recording, so I haven't had a huge amount of time to let it settle and really think about it all. But in terms of my fresh thoughts, this is how I interpreted certain aspects of the film. So like I said, the hypnotic aspect of the story comes across as a metaphor, in my opinion, for how some black communities don't get to have much control with their lives due to the systemic reality that surrounds them, that they're stuck in. And it's a type of reality that society likes to keep them in, and certain groups of white people like to keep them in. And the reason why they like to keep them in this position is in order to keep black people under control, so they believe, and to prevent black people from prospering. So it keeps them locked into this cycle, and that's like a cycle of poverty, drugs, and other negative stereotypes that are associated with black people. And I think that the film found a really interesting way through the science fiction aspect of it to explore those themes in a way that we haven't really seen, and in a way that takes what is metaphorical and also gives you a very literal presentation of it in the film visually, which is something I appreciated a lot. Because this film essentially presents the hood, or what we consider to be the trap, as a trap, which is what it kind of is in reality if you were to get really deep with it and think about it in real world terms. You know, black people can get stuck in that cycle and they can't get out of it. And it's not necessarily their fault. It's the environment they're brought up in, the environment that they're born into, and the way that the class and racial divide in America is in certain locations you get kept and you don't really get much opportunity to prosper and to break out of it. And only a small few will and become successful, whereas the rest get left behind. And I think it's a very timely message, or a very timely topic that the film's exploring. And I think it explored it well, whilst also having a very fun, because it's a heavy topic, it's a heavy subject to explore, but the film does such a great job of being fun, engaging and exciting and funny that it takes some of the weight off of the topic. So you can still enjoy the film and have a fun time. And if you don't want to look into the thematic side of it, it's still a fun, great science fiction film to watch and enjoy, and you'll still enjoy it. Whereas if you do want to kind of start to think about the thematic side of this film and what it presents, you can do that as well, and you'll enjoy the film the same way as it is, but then you'll also get extra from it by delving into it further if that's what you'd like to do. And that's something I appreciate about this film a lot. But like I said, They Clone Tyrone, it's on Netflix right now. Most people have a Netflix subscription. Watch it. Fantastic film. One of my favorites of the year. like I said, I'm very glad that John Boyega has a film like this that he's led that is this good. And I think this film will undoubtedly, whether it be a cult or just in general, most likely probably will be a cult, will become a classic in future. It'll become a film that people will continue to discover over the years and appreciate and delve into. There'll be a lot of video essays made about this film, exploring its themes. And to be honest, I can't wait to watch this film again. I loved it that much. And I don't tend to watch films multiple times at home. If it's a film that's released theatrically, then I'll watch it multiple times if I really like it, so I can get that experience as much time as it's possible whilst it's still in cinemas. But once films release at home, I don't tend to watch them very often. So the fact that I want to watch this again so soon says a lot as well. But thank you very much for listening to this episode. If you enjoyed it, make sure to follow this podcast so you don't miss any future episodes, and share it with any friends as well. That'd be greatly appreciated. And you can also follow me on Twitter as well, at Terrell Graham. And I'll speak to you guys in the next episode.